Part 29, Chapter 3. A few feet from the door of the conference room, Johnny started to get mad. War. Any one of those lords in there, or their governments, merely had to say the word, and their fleets pranced off to bash somebody's world in. And when they'd bashed it in, they could just sail off, tra-la, without a thought of what they'd done to people's homes and lives, and then maybe come back another day to bash some more. Johnny took a walk around the causeway of the bowl. It was a sunny noontime, and the mine entrance and exhaust fans made a gentle breeze as they changed the air. The little children lay in the rifle pits, shaded with bits and pieces of cloth. They followed him with their eyes. The dogs whuffed and snuffled at him from the ends of their leashes and, somehow recognizing him as a friend, wagged their tails. The older children, having fed the younger ones, were sitting cross-legged and eating from bowls. They grinned and nodded as he went by. Johnny thought, why shouldn't these children have a chance? Why couldn't they have a future that was happy and safe? War. What right did cold, impersonal nations have to murder and rampage, to smash and crush and gut their more helpless fellow beings? Call it national policy. Call it necessities of state. Call it what you will. It still amounted to an action of the insane. Cyclo. What right did Cyclo have striking this planet down? Couldn't they have bought what they wanted? Couldn't they have come in and said, we need metal, we will exchange this or that or technology for it? No, it suited them better to murder and steal it like a thief. He thought about the time before the visitors came, when first they had been free from the oppressive tyrants. The people had been trying to get on with it, had been happy, had been working with a will. And then the visitors came, and with them, the bank. Organization might be necessary, but it gave no one the right to create a government that was an inhuman, soulless beast. He thought of Brown Limper and his idiocies in the name of the state. Yet Brown Limper had been almost sensible compared to those lords in there. Johnny looked at the children, and he made up his mind. Whatever happened, there would be no more war. Not anywhere. He had been so engrossed in his thoughts that Chief Chongwan had to shake his arm to get his attention. The chief was jumping up and down and waving at Johnny to come on, and at last practically pushed him into the ops room. Tinny was beaming. A chatter of Polly was spraying out from around her headphones. She said something into her mic and turned to Johnny.
It's the Scott officer in charge of rescue in Russia,
said Tinny.
They spotted some green smoke coming from a ventilator in Pars. Somebody inside had gotten the armor off the ducks. They've got mine hoist gear going right this minute, hauling people out.
Minute by minute, the reports came in. Then Tinny turned to Johnny.
It's Colonel Ivan. It's for you. He says, tell Marshal Johnny the Valiant Red Army is still at his command.
Johnny was about to reply. He was finding it hard to talk. But Tinny said,
here's another one for Johnny. He wants to hear your voice.
She pushed the headset at Johnny.